Rock of Southern California, 95.5 KLOS. Checking in, Danny Elfman. You may know him from Boingo in the early 80s, but he is a huge composer now. He composes all kinds of films, film scores, television, stage productions. Hello, hello.
Hi, this is Danny Elfman looking for Marcy.
Danny Elfman, oh my goodness. Now, Danny, I have to tell you, being here at KLOS, I've had the pleasure of speaking with a lot of different rockers, a lot of different rock stars, and I really don't get nervous. But I have to say, I am completely fangirling over here.
Oh, that's so sweet. And here you're on the phone with the most inconsequential of the entire group that you've talked to.
The most incredibly talented man. I mean, no, seriously, I've got the sweaty palms. I'm so excited. I grew up with you, and I've been a huge fan my entire life.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. That's very sweet.
Yeah, so it's good. It's really good talking to you. You just announced a second date for Tim Burton's Nightmare Before Christmas. The first show sold out so fast, which doesn't surprise me.
Well, I'm just so happy to be, you know, finally, fingers crossed, getting back on stage. I mean, you know, it...
Yeah, oh, I bet.
It was painful, of course, you know, canceling everything last year.
Yeah.
And so this will be my first time in 2 years, you know, doing anything... even longer. Oh my God, it's just crazy, yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah, it has been. And I bet you are really looking forward to it.
Yeah, and it's a really cool venue, and the screens that they were showing me, you know, what it would look like are really huge. And I don't know, I think it'll be pretty cool. So, yeah, second show night, which is also very cool. I'm very glad about that because I love it when it's actually on Halloween, too.
I love Halloween and actually have tickets for the first night, but Halloween would be a really fun night to be there.
Well, it's all Halloween, Marcy. The whole weekend. And I'm telling all the kids out there, start trick-or-treating on Friday. Don't wait till Sunday.
It'd be kind of weird if I showed up in my Halloween costume on the first night, though, right?
No, actually, it wouldn't be. Trust me, because you know, we've done all the weekend 4 times already, and people wear costumes, whether it's Halloween, the day before, the day after. It really doesn't matter.
Okay, then maybe I will. What should I dress up as, Danny?
Something nasty.
So Halloween's for, right?
Yeah, something wicked or something nasty. Come on.
Or something blue. Okay, so hey, Danny, a lot of fans know you from Oingo Boingo, of course. Some may not know that you're this legendary composer, film scores, TV, stage productions, Nightmare Before Christmas. Give that a fair pass on this one. What score is your favorite to date, though, and why?
You know, it's funny. I don't really have favorites. I have, like, when I think back, like, favorite experiences, where it's like, oh, writing that in this situation was really fun.
Yeah.
But, you know, favorites is like favorite children, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
I mean, look, Nightmare Before Christmas is definitely at the top of the list of favorite experiences. It was just so fun writing the songs with Tim, you know, like literally sitting in the kitchen of my girlfriend's house every 3 days.
Yeah.
Hearing bits of story from Tim, showing me pictures and going off and writing another song and 3 days later doing another one.
Yeah, you know, I was going to ask you how you go about composing a film score or a production, you know, what that process is like.
Well, a score is like intensive. That's like 3 months of like hard labor.
Yeah.
That's more like being in a gulag, a prison camp in Russia, a labor camp. You're getting up to work. Long hours every day. It's grueling. But writing for a musical, writing songs, it's just a really different experience. And like writing the songs in this case, it was just totally fun because, you know, writing songs, but I'm not used to writing songs as a different character. It's the first time I'd ever done that. I'm not writing songs about myself. I'm writing about this character, Jack Skellington, which I'm learning about and I really like. And so it was unique. It was different. I'm like, it was so easy because I understood Jack.
Yeah. So any similarities between the two of you?
Oh yeah. I mean, believe me, I, at the point when I was writing the stuff for Jack, you know, I reached a point, early on in the '90s where I didn't want to be in a band anymore and I didn't know how to end it. And I kept telling the band, I said, you know, this is our last year. And it was nothing personal. I loved them, but I just didn't want to be in a band anymore. And I felt like Jack, you know, in Halloween Land. It's yeah. Like he had this great place, but he wanted something different. And yeah. didn't know what it was. Knew exactly how he felt. So as I was writing these songs for Jack, I was kind of writing my own story too at the same time, mm-hmm. at least emotionally felt into it. And so, yeah, I immediately, when Tim presented Jack, I just totally related to his situation. And as I was writing it, you know, I felt like, yeah, I get it, dude.
Do you connect with the rhythm or melody first when you are approaching, when you're writing?
Well, if I'm writing a score, it might be either. But when I'm writing songs, it's definitely a melody first and lyric. You know, yeah. it's like I'm coming up with lines and then I start hearing a tune that are working with these lyrics and lines I'm coming up with. And in some cases, Tim Burton actually brought in lines and rhymes. So, you know, part of the lyrics are really should be credited to him as well. Was a collaboration in the sense that he's also really good with that stuff. So we yeah. really worked together.
Yeah.
It was so much fun. It really was.
Yeah. Do you feel like your efforts to write compelling lyrics are ever lost in the melody of a catchy hook?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I had any catchy hooks.
Oh, yeah. Maybe that's not the right way to put it.
But, you know, I feel like I was always serving the lyrics first, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then just trying to come up with something fun for the lyrics. But I understand what you're saying, you know, and I think often in certain kinds of songs or pop tunes, you know, the lyric gets maybe buried a bit in the rhythm and the hook.
Yeah.
You know, so you're hearing yeah. and you're hearing some words, but the words are more like just a hooky, catchy thing as opposed to, oh, there's a lyric actually going on there.
Do you feel like, because I was just thinking about Boingo's early work and kind of had an air of warning against authoritarianism and, you know, wake up, it's 1984, and who do you want to be? I mean, do you feel like more people need to pay attention to what songs and artists are saying in their music?
Well, it depends on what they're saying. I mean, you know, I just finished a double album, and to me, the lyrics are really important, but they're not, you know, they're angry, and because I was angry. So, I mean, lyrics should really express what an artist is feeling. And I definitely, when I was writing for Oingo Boingo, I had these, like, dark visions of the future. But when I was writing Big Mess, which I just finished, I felt like that I was always afraid of had actually arrived.
And if you're just tuning in, it's the one and only Danny Elfman on the phone with, I'm fangirling big time. Your resume, Danny, is really diverse. Edward Scissorhands and Alice in Wonderland, even Dumbo, Good Will Hunting. Love that movie. The Simpsons. You've just done so many. I saw the credits at the opening of Desperate Housewives one time, and of course, there was your name. And so I was thinking, you know, I wonder if Danny Elfman ever watches Desperate Housewives. Did you ever binge or watch any of the Desperate Housewives episodes, Danny?
I did, but, you know, I didn't see them all. You know, I end up frequently when that happens. I mean, I haven't seen all The Simpsons either.
You're right.
Yeah. A gazillion of them. I mean, if you started binging The Simpsons, what would it take you into the next century?
Oh, geez. Never ending. Yeah.
No, I mean, you know, because I work at night and I work 6 or 7 nights a week. So I don't get a lot of binging time, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I mean, I did a little bit during this pandemic, more than I ever had.
Yeah.
Just I was like, because suddenly I was like not working on a film score. I was just writing songs and recording, and I had a little more time on my hands, which was kind of cool.
Yeah,
and I found myself going through about 6 shows, and it was like, wow, this is a new thing for me. I get into this binging thing.
Yeah, the binging thing. Maybe that's the wrong way to put it. It's watch when you can. But what did you get into? What were you watching during the pandemic?
Oh man. I watched so many series. My favorite of everything is Succession.
Mm.
I'm just dying for the new season to come because they had to shut down production.
I haven't watched. I'll have to check it out.
Oh yeah, two zombie shows. One called Kingdom from Korea, and one called Black Sunday that was done here. So you got Korean zombies, you got American zombies.
Lots of I did watch that Black Sunday or Black Summer.
Yeah, Park.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, it is. I got to know, too, who are you listening to these days? Who's your favorite artist right now?
Well, you know, it's funny because since the album came out, people have been asking me that a lot because they were surprised that it was kind of doing a heavier sound than I used to do. And I try to explain that, you know, even back in the 90s, I always listened to heavier music than I was actually doing.
Yeah.
So even then, if you asked me what was I listening to, I definitely would have said Nine Inch Nails, Tool, you know, into the 90s, into the 2000s. Oh, my God. I couldn't have gotten through the finish when I finished up my tattooing during the pandemic last year and a half that I started 35 years ago. I couldn't have done it without the new Tool album, Fear and Not Fear.
Okay.
I mean, literally.
Yeah.
That album got through the sessions. So my own take tend to be a little more in that direction. That's why I was so incredibly excited to do a duet with Trent Reznor because, you know, I've always admired him.
Yeah, and it's very good. It's very good.
Thank you.
Mood, for sure.
So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of like he's been a part of my musical kind of psyche for a long time. So I never thought I would actually do something with him. That was very cool. But my tastes are going to run in that direction.
Okay, so Danny, let's look ahead 20 years from now, and somebody is going to smartly decide to do a movie based on your life and career. So A, who would you want to star as you, and B, who would you want to compose the score for the film?
Well, I would hope Nicolas Cage would play me with a wig, a red wig.
I have to say, that is a very interesting choice.
I don't know. I mean, who would play me?
It's either Dave Mustaine, if he were into acting.
Either that or Steve Buscemi, you know, depending on which side of my personality you're
on. I love it.
I really couldn't say. Who would score it? Well, I would probably hope Trent would score it.
Oh, yeah, you know, I shouldn't be surprised by that at all. That's a good call.
He's an amazing composer also.
Yes, you both do a lot of that. So, Danny, to me, I mean, it seems like it must take a lot of next-level creativity and artistry. And there's, you know, there's the large and memorable parts, but it's all the subtleties and the nuances that seem so mysterious and interesting. I'll ask you this question. Now, keep in mind, I'm a total geek. Picture me, Marcy. I'm running away from bad guys down a dark and rainy street in a foreign land. What kind of music would you compose for that scene?
Probably something really light and bouncy.
Yeah. I mean, I like the juxtaposition there.
No, I don't know. No, it's like, I really can't answer that because depending on the way it's shot and the way it looks, I might play something propulsive or I might play something really dark and atmospheric or I might play something ridiculous.
Light and bouncy.
Yeah, it really just depends on what the tone is coming through the screen. You know, because sometimes what you see is not what you're being asked to feel, and sometimes it is.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you're opposite, and sometimes you're playing directly with it. Sometimes you're playing externally, and sometimes you're playing internally. Right. So I might be playing what character thinking and play it from that point of view, or just what are we seeing?
All right, Danny Elfman is with me. He returns with Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Christmas live to film concert experience. A second show has been added, Halloween night. What a fun night to go experience this. Bank of California Yep.
It's at the Bank of California Stadium this year. First time,
yep. Great venue for that. The KLOS pre-sale Friday morning, 10 a.m. Ticketmaster, the keyword is KLOS2. General tickets go on sale on Monday, September 13th, 10 a.m. Ticketmaster. So for fans that haven't seen the show before, what can we expect?
Well, it's the entire musical. It's the entire movie live to screen with about 85 musicians on stage. We're doing everything exactly in sync with the picture or as close as we can come, which is super hard.
Yeah, I would think so.
There's going to be some guest stars coming out and performing with me, including Ken Page is the original Oogie Boogie. But we have Weird Al Yankovic coming this year.
Nice.
And doing a song with me. It's kind of a trick-or-treater. So that'll be like super cool. And a super special guest star will also be joining me for that trio, which I can't disclose yet.
You can't? Can you get just a little tease?
I can't. never, I got in trouble.
Just a little. Okay, I won't. All right. Well, I'm excited. I'm excited to hear.
Oh, if you would know who exactly, if I gave you any hint, you would know exactly. So it's like, I can't do that. And I guess you're supposed to use this pre-sale code. Do you know about that?
The pre-sale, we've got a KLOS pre-sale password that's KLOS2. Oh. That's okay. No, either way, get your tickets because this is going to be a great show.
Leave it to me to screw everything up every time.
No, that's my job.
No, that's my biggest talent, actually, because I am very talented. And my number one talent is the ability to mess things up.
Well, you and I then. Cheers. Oh, and by the way, I hear you have some chickens.
Yeah. I have chickens, and I visit them every day. And the eggs that they leave me.
Oh, see, now that's nice.
Mm-hmm. Me and my chickens. That's another pandemic thing that I got into. That's chicken coop.
That's great. Do they have names?
Yeah, they do. We've been following the life of Bobo and Gaston and Zord and many of the others. But pray for Bobo. That's all I can say.
Pray for Bobo?
Yeah, Bobo's the queen of the the roost.
Thoughts and prayers.
Think good thoughts for Bobo.
Okay, we love Bobo.
She's a magical chicken.
Golden eggs?
Yeah, exactly. anyhow, it was great talking to you, and I hope to see you, and if you get a chance, play true.
Yes, I will play true. I'm going to do an entire block of Danny Elfman. I'll do some Boingo. I'll do some stuff off of your solo album, Big Mess. We'll do that one. We'll do... What do you want me to throw on? I'll throw on whatever you want me to. What Boingo should I throw on?
What Boingo?
Mm-hmm.
Well, anything off Boingo Alive. That's the only... Boingo Farewell or Boingo Alive. That's the only albums I could listen to from Boingo.
Really?
Yeah, everything else drives me crazy.
Okay.
You could play Dead Man's Party from Boingo Farewell, or, I don't know, God, your choice. I don't know how to pick Boingo songs, you know?
Okay, well, I will do my damnedest to make you proud, Danny. And then which song's off of Big Mess?
Big Mess, True, and yep. I'd love to play Happy or Sorry or Kick Me.
Okay, got it. We got some editing to do.
And,
yeah, and then Boingo.
It really, honestly, anything off of, you know, it's weird. We spent years recording, and I was frustrated with every recording. I just could never listen to it again until finally I had the sense to record us live. And I did this album called Boingo Alive.
Right, yeah.
Which was, but in a soundstage. And then the one I like even more is Boingo Farewell, which is live from the Universal Amphitheater. And those are the only albums to me where Boingo Boingo sounds like Boingo.
Wow. Okay. Well, let's go with mostly stuff off of Farewell and Big Mess.
You should have most of the songs, you know, between those two. But it's like, I don't know what it is. It's just like we should have recorded that way from day one. If I had a time machine, I would go back and tell us, I said, do everything live. Don't break it up. Don't break it up into different tracks and get into that studio sound, which always made you crazy later. It's like, you know, play, get on a stage, put up microphones and play.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's do that.
It took me a long time to learn that lesson.
And then you said, I'm done with the band.
Well, it's, you know, people always give me a hard time over that. Like, it's like, but I abandoned them. But I really love the band and I love the shows being in the band. I just felt like I needed to not be in any band.
Right.
You know, I needed to be kind of cut loose. It's like I reached that point, and
just not as it was it a lack of being challenged.
Yeah, I mean, it felt like it was a thing that I did, and I'm so bad at repetition. I was never would have made it as an actor or stage actor or being in a touring band for any length of time. You know, I admire bands that could just do that over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Rolling Stones have been on. It's incredible.
I know.
And I would go on the road, and after 2 weeks, that's it. I'm done. It's like, I don't want to ever play these again. It's like, there's something in my brain. It's like, I'm really, really bad with repetition. And so playing the same songs would make me nuts. And And I realized at a certain point that I was just missing that gene that some performers have, that they can just keep doing the same thing night after night. Like, I can keep doing Nightmare Before Christmas because I only do it once or twice a year.
Yeah.
It's like, right. I'm not like done, but you put me on the road for a month, 30 days of performing, and it's like, that's it. I'll go, I never want to do this again. I reached this weird thing, and I apologize to my fans because, you know, it's just, it's not cool to be that way.
Well, I mean, yes, some fans are going to be disappointed, but you've got to be happy and fulfilled. So you are definitely in the right line of work. Sounds like it keeps it exciting and interesting and different.
Yeah. I you know, I always felt bad and I always try to apologize to my fans just for not being wired the right way to be a touring musician that just was able to kind of persist and do that. But I just wasn't. And,
yep. But on behalf of fans, I have to say thank you for all the great music, you know, that you put out with Boingo and everywhere around us. You're everywhere, Danny.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. So Danny Elfman returns with Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Xmas. Christmas. I said Xmas.
But I do that too. Nightmare Before Xmas. It's true. Or BX, because it's so, we call it NBX so much that I just get used to doing that.
That's just how it flowed. So the second date has been added for Halloween night, 6:30 p.m. The KLOS presale starts tomorrow, 10 a.m. Ticketmaster.com. The keyword you need, KLOS 2. The general sale is Monday, September 13th, starting at 10 a.m. on Ticketmaster. Thank you so much, Danny Elfman, for checking in. It's been a great chat, and I look forward to seeing the show.
Thanks so much. I hope to see you there.
Yeah, definitely. Got great seats, so I'm somewhere there in the front.
Then you better come.
I will definitely be there.
And then you better come and say hello.
I will definitely come and say hello. I know Kevin's going. We'll both see you somewhere backstage. Thanks so much, Danny.
Thanks.